Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Hare Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigora Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 12, text 10, page 623, devotional service. Let's chant the Sanskrit together. Abhyase pyasamartosi matkarma paramo bhava madartam api karmani kurvan siddhim avapshasi. Translation. If you cannot practice the regulations of bhakti yoga, then just try to work for me, because by working for me, you will come to the perfect stage. Text 11. Ataitadapyasaktosi kartum mad yogam ashritaha sarva karma palatyagam tatakuru yatatmavan. Translation. If, however, you are unable to work in this consciousness of me, then try to act, giving up all results of your work, and try to be self-situated. Text 12. Shreyo hi jnanam abhyasaj jnana dhyanam vishishate dhyanat karma palatyagas tyagat chantir anantaram. Translation. If you cannot take to this practice, then engage yourself in the cultivation of knowledge. Better than knowledge, however, is meditation. And better than meditation is renunciation of the fruits of action. For by such renunciation, one can attain peace of mind. Texts 13 and 14. Advaishta sarva bhutanam maitra karuna evacha nirmamo nirahankara samadukha sukha kshami santushta satatam yogi yatatma drida nishchaya mayarpita mano buddhir yo mad bhakta samepriyaha. Translation. One who is not envious but is a kind friend to all living entities, who does not think himself a proprietor and is free from false ego, who is equal in both happiness and distress, who is tolerant, always satisfied, self-controlled, and engaged in devotional service with determination, his mind and intelligence fixed on me, such a devotee of mine is very dear to me. Text 15. Yasmano dvijate loko, lokano dvijate chasaha, harsha marsha bhayodvegai muktoya sachame priyaha. Translation. He for whom no one is put into difficulty, and who is not disturbed by anyone, who is equipoised in happiness and distress, fear and anxiety, is very dear to me. Text 16. Anapeksha shuchir daksha udasino gatavyataha sarvarambha parityagi yomad bhakta same priyaha. Translation. My devotee who is not dependent on the ordinary course of activities, who is pure, expert, without cares, free from all pains, and not striving for some result, is very dear to me. Text 17. Yo na hrishati na dveshti na shochati na kangshati shubha shubha agi bhaktiman yasame priyaha. Translation. One who neither rejoices nor grieves, who neither laments nor desires, and who renounces both auspicious and inauspicious things, such a devotee is very dear to me. Text 18 and 19. Samak shatrau cha mitre cha tata mana pamanayo shitoshna sukha dukeshu sama sangha vivarjita tulya nindas tutir moni santushto yena kena chit aniketa sitir matir bhaktiman me priyo nara. Translation: one who is equal to friends and enemies, who is equipoised in honor and dishonor, heat and cold, happiness and distress, fame and infamy, who is always free from contaminating association, always silent and satisfied with anything, who doesn't care for any residence, who is fixed in knowledge and who is engaged in devotional service, such a person is very dear to me. And finally, text 20. Ye tu dharma amritam idam yatoktam paryupasate shradhadhana matparama bhaktaste tivame priyaha. Translation: those who follow this imperishable path of devotional service and completely engage themselves with faith, making me the supreme goal, are very, very dear to me. Going back to text 10. If you cannot practice the regulations of bhakti yoga, then just try to work for me, because by working for me, you will come to the perfect stage. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. One who is not able even to practice the regulative principles of bhakti yoga under the guidance of a spiritual master can still be drawn to this perfectional stage by working for the Supreme Lord. How to do this work has already been explained in the 55th verse of the 11th chapter. One should be sympathetic to the propagation of Krishna consciousness. There are many devotees who are engaged in the propagation of Krishna consciousness, and they require help. So even if one cannot directly practice the regulative principles of bhakti yoga, he can try to help such work. Every endeavor requires land, capital, organization, and labor, just as in business one requires a place to stay, some capital to use, some labor, and some organization to expand. So the same is required in the service of Krishna. The only difference is that in materialism, one works for sense gratification. The same work, however, can be performed for the satisfaction of Krishna, and that is spiritual activity. If one has sufficient money, he can help in building an office or temple for propagating Krishna consciousness. Or he can help with publications. There are various fields of activity, and one should be interested in such activities. If one cannot sacrifice the results of his activities, the same person can still sacrifice some percentage to propagate Krishna consciousness. This voluntary service to the cause of Krishna consciousness will help one to rise to a higher state of love for God, whereupon one becomes perfect. So, in the previous two verses, Krishna has explained what he wants people to do in descending order. The first thing is to love him. But that's not easy, because we're not pure, so loving Krishna requires purity. So if one cannot love Krishna, then he recommends the next step down is then please engage in the regulative principles of bhakti yoga, because then you will develop a desire to attain me. In other words, bhakti yoga is the next level below, you could say. And there are many stages of bhakti yoga. Specifically, he says here, the regulative principles of bhakti yoga. So, regulative principles, Abhyasa Yogena. In devotional service, there's a wide span, beginning from Vidhi Bhakti, which is regulative principles or practice. One is not even fully a devotee yet, in a sense. He's practicing to become a devotee. He's following rules and regulations of the scriptures very carefully. He may not even have any spontaneous attraction for Krishna. The higher stage of devotional service is when one is spontaneously attracted to serving Krishna. He doesn't need to be told what to do and when to do it, when to get up. He's naturally attracted to service, and those things automatically are accomplished. So, but Vidhi Bhakti means practicing sadhana bhakti, following four regulative principles, we know, avoiding intoxication, illicit sex, gambling, and meat eating, and rising early, attending all the functions, chanting a certain number of rounds. This is Vidhi Bhakti. This is the second stage. Now, in text 10, Krishna is describing there are people who cannot do that. But that doesn't mean that they're lost. It doesn't mean that they have no hope. They have hope. What should they do? Should they become frustrated and feel terrible that they can't come up to the standard of bhakti yoga?
No.
Krishna is not that type of God that wants to make you feel bad and guilty. The New Ager should like him very much because Krishna is not interested in making you feel guilty. He wants you to feel happy and fully engaged. So rather than lamenting that you're not up to the second or the first platform, then recognize that you're on the third platform and perform your activities very enthusiastically on that stage. And if you do that, then you'll naturally advance. And what is that? It is by working for me. So work for Krishna. There's so much work. Either working physically for Krishna, cleaning the temple, building a temple, something like that, or give the results of your work to Krishna. Best if you can give all the results of your work to Krishna. Confirmed. But if you cannot give all of it, then, as Prabhupada says here, then the same person can sacrifice some percentage to propagate Krishna consciousness. Some percentage. That's the principle of our Para Upakar program. We don't say how much. We have a membership program, monthly donors. We say give as much as you can, whatever percentage, try to give a certain percentage, same amount. And that way, these people, because they're not following bhakti yoga principles, all of them. Some of them maybe, but most of them not. But still, they can help. They're helping the Sankirtan movement. They're giving some percentage of their income. That's the third stage. Now let's read the fourth stage. Text 11. If, however, you are unable to work in this consciousness of me, then try to act, giving up all results of your work, and try to be self-situated. Purport. It may be that one is unable even to sympathize with the activities of Krishna consciousness because of social, familial, or religious considerations, or because of some other impediments. Just see how liberal Krishna is. He's not saying you have to join a particular organization. Of course, that's best if you can join ISKCON and all that. But the fourth stage is can't even join ISKCON. You can't even become a member. Why? Because your family, your friends, your mind, So many things will disturb you. All right. Then Krishna is saying, then try to work for some good cause. Try to do something good. Save the whales. Of course, that's not very high level. But just like people, they think, I'll work for something good, I'll help build a hospital, or I'll give to my church. All right. So that's... Here, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, there are many descriptions of sacrifices and special functions of punya, or special work in which the result of one's previous action may be applied. So try to become good. Try to become a good person. Punya, try to perform some pious activities. Helping old people across the street, that's pious. It's better than so many other things which are impious that one could do. Try to become a vegetarian. There you go. There's an example. There's so many. They're not in ISKCON. They're not practicing bhakti yoga. They're not loving Krishna. But they're trying to become vegetarians. It's the mode of goodness. At least they're striving for that. So that's good. It's considered a sub-religious principle. It's not transcendental to become, because even pigeons are vegetarian. It's not such a great accomplishment to be a vegetarian. But it's better than being a meat eater. So it's more in the mode of goodness. So therefore, we don't discourage that. If someone says, I'm trying to become a vegetarian, a devotee will always say, very good. Or if someone says, I'm trying to become a good Christian, very good. Or I'm trying to give up intoxication, very good. Trying to help the suffering people in Biafra, very good. Fourth stage. And let's read the next stage. 12. If you cannot take to this practice, in other words, you can't even engage in pious activities, then engage yourself in the cultivation of knowledge. Now let's try to read some books. Try to hear something, read something, learn something. Better than knowledge, however, and this knowledge, of course, is not just referring to learn some mundane thing, how to, you know, put your own drywall in your garage or something. No, it means try to get knowledge about the self, about higher principles, about life. It's like reading the books. Those people who buy our books, some of them are not even interested in punya, pious activities. Some of them are completely engaged in impious activities. And they have no idea how they're going to become pious. That's okay. Read a book. Cultivate knowledge. But better than knowledge, Krishna says, is meditation. So better than that is chanting Hare Krishna. That's meditation. Other types of meditation is not meditation. TM is not meditation. So don't kid yourself. So when you're speaking about meditation, so better than cultivating knowledge is chanting Hare Krishna. It's a fact. That's meditation. But better than meditation is renunciation of the fruits of action. So now he's going back to the one before, or the two before. Better than that is to give up some of your fruits. For by such renunciation, because he recommended renunciation in the verse before. Give up work for me, make some renunciation. Or if you can't work for me, then give up your work for some good cause. If you can't do that, then the next one down is meditate. Do some meditation. The next one down from meditation is cultivating knowledge. So how many is that? One, two, three, four. Hmm? Four, five, six. So I've got six levels now. The sixth level is cultivating some knowledge. Let's go on. I guess that's as far as Krishna goes. Because if you're not willing to at least try to cultivate some knowledge, then what's the hope? You won't chant, you won't cultivate knowledge, you won't give any donations, you won't work for Krishna, you won't follow regular, you won't follow any pious activities, you don't want to do anything, all right, then what can we do? That's the end of Krishna's extension, six levels. So, those who are engaged in bhakti yoga, who are engaged in the Krishna conscious movement, who are initiated, following, or working towards initiation, they're in the second category. So it's a very, very high level. And they're working towards going to the first level. That is the system. But they're not proud, and they're not condescending upon others. Rather, they're very kind. Just like someone who's been saved from the sea and he's in the boat, he doesn't become proud and say, look at all these poor fools out there drowning. You know, he doesn't throw stones at them or something like that. No, if he has any decency, he'll go and try to pull them out also. So this is a preaching movement because we've been saved from the ocean of material suffering. And now we have to put our hand out and throw out the rope and pull in the others who are drowning. That's Krishna consciousness movement. It's a preaching movement. And if it wasn't a preaching movement, you and I wouldn't be here. So, text 14. One who is not envious, but is a kind friend to all living entities, who does not think himself a proprietor and is free from false ego, who is equal in both happiness and distress, who is tolerant, always satisfied, self-controlled, and engaged in devotional service with determination, his mind and intelligence fixed on me, such a devotee of mine is very dear to me. So Krishna is not speaking something abstract. It's not some vague idea, I don't know what Krishna wants me to do. Here it's very clear. And one can test himself daily to see how he's doing. Because we should cooperate with Krishna. We should want to be dear to Krishna. Unfortunately, people want to be dear to their dog and they don't care about being dear to Krishna. Isn't that silly? He wants that his dog thinks very fondly of him. I want my dog to think I'm a very nice master. Or I want my boss to think I'm a very good worker. Or something like that. What about Krishna? You should want that Krishna is pleased with you, that Krishna is fond. As he says here, such a devotee of mine is very dear to me. We should want to be dear to Krishna. And it's not so difficult. It's not that Krishna is asking something impossible. All he's saying here, don't be envious. Be a kind friend to all living entities. Well, this automatically happens. Yes, yasti bhakti bhagavat yakinchana. Sarvayar gunais tatra samasate suraha. One doesn't have to separately try to be friendly to every living entity. Let me go find all the bugs under the rocks and be kind to them. Well, how will you be kind to them? You don't even know what they like to eat. So, the best way to be kind to all living entities is to become a devotee. Because then automatically, one will develop this mentality. He'll be kind to all living entities. A devotee naturally doesn't like to harm anyone. The story of the hunter, Magari. He was shooting animals and killing them halfway so that they would suffer till death. And he was enjoying that, their agony. So Narad Muni happened to be coming there in the forest, and he came up to the hunter, said, "Do you know who's doing this, half killing the animals?" And Magari said, "Yes, I'm doing it." And Narad Muni said, "Why are you doing that?" He said, "Because I get pleasure watching them in agony." He said, "That's very sinful. You're going to have to suffer in hell for that." And the hunter became influenced by the association of Narad Muni. And thus he decided he would stop doing that. And he said, what should I do now if I want to get free from, I've killed so many animals?" So Narad Muni told him, "You give up this hunting business, you go with your wife, you live by the sacred river, worship Tulsi Devi, and I'll take care of your necessities." So he did that, and he became such a great devotee that he wouldn't even step on an ant. He was afraid to step on, he would move the ants out of the way, or he'd wait till they walked by or something. He was so, and before he was killing animals just to watch them suffer. That's what happens when one becomes a devotee. He naturally develops this quality. Then, does not think himself a proprietor. That's very difficult to give up that idea. This is mine. Because we're always thinking, this is mine. This belongs to me. This is my house, my body. This is mine. My money. But, Krishna says, a devotee does not think himself a proprietor. He knows, near mama, nothing's mine. It's all Krishna's. He doesn't have any separate interests. So much for Krishna, so much for me. Then, he's free from false ego. False ego means I think I'm the body. So a devotee knows he's not the body. He's equal in both happiness and distress. This is practical. We see in our life, we're always tested by some happiness and some distress. Or, what do we mean by happiness? Well, it means sense gratification. He's looking for sense gratification. And if he's not getting sense gratification, he's very upset. And if he is getting sense gratification, then he's very happy and he doesn't care about Krishna. That's what happens. When one is interested in sense gratification, then when he gets sense gratification, he forgets Krishna. And when he doesn't get sense gratification, he's too busy hankering to get sense gratification. So he's not thinking of Krishna either way. And this is stated in Bhagavad Gita, Bhogaisvarya Prasaktanam Taya Parita Chetasam Vyavasayatnika Buddhi Samadho Navidhiyate. In the minds of those who are too attached to sense enjoyment and material opulence and are bewildered by such things, this resolute determination of devotional service to the Supreme Lord does not take place. So this is what happens when one is too much attached to happiness and distress. Then he's tolerant. Tolerates all kinds of insults, all kinds of dualities. He's always satisfied. Never complains. A devotee never complains. He's always peaceful, self-controlled, and engaged in devotional service with determination, his mind and intelligence fixed on me. So this is a science. One has to learn the science from a bona fide spiritual master. Otherwise, how will you be able to achieve this on your own? How can we do this? We don't even know the first step. But the spiritual master, he's expert, he's learned the science, and he can teach us. And then we're following his advice, and Krishna will be pleased with us. By pleasing the spiritual master, one automatically pleases Krishna. This is the system. Yasya prasada, bhagavat prasado, Yasya prasada nagati katopi. Text 15. This is a verse that made a big impression upon me in my early days. He for whom no one is put into difficulty and who is not disturbed by anyone, who is equipoised in happiness and distress, fear and anxiety, is very dear to me. He shouldn't put anyone else in difficulty by any of his activities. So that even goes in his daily, how he speaks to someone. He should speak in such a way not to disturb their minds. Why should he insult them? He may get some temporary pleasure out of insulting them, but he may cause them anxiety. Some people enjoy putting others in anxiety. Just the opposite. He for whom no one is put into difficulty. But it's like we used to have a kind of the way it was when I joined. The system was you were not supposed to agitate anyone. You were not supposed to act in such a way that you would cause someone else agitation. We tried to put this verse into practice. That's very nice. Try to act in such a way that you don't disturb anyone else. Even Haridas Thakur, he took it to such an extent that when the executioners were trying to kill him and they were unsuccessful, they went to him and they revealed their minds confidentially and they said, Haridas, we're not able to kill you and we're going to get in trouble. So, can you help us out? And Haridas, yes, I don't want to put you in distress. So, that's a devotee. Doesn't put anyone in distress. And he's equipoise in fear and anxiety. These things may come. As long as we have the body, fear and anxiety, these things may come. But a devotee, he doesn't let that become the prominent feature. Oh, so what? I'm afraid. So I'm still going to do my duty. That's the point. I may be afraid, but still I'll do my duty. I may be in anxiety. Like some people think, oh, I'm in anxiety, I can't do my duty. Why not? Do it in anxiety. I remember there was one a devotee was coming back from Sankirtan. So the devotee was saying, you know, people don't treat me nicely on Sankirtan. And, you know, I just lamented all day. I was so sad. People didn't treat me nicely. But that's not devotional service, just to feel sorry or lamentation. Devotional service is to go on trying our best even when there is cause of distress or people are not treating you nicely. Or maybe they're even putting you in anxiety. Someone was putting me in anxiety today. That's all right. Still, that's a challenge for you to engage in devotional service even when you're being put into anxiety. It's not that I only do devotional service when everything's perfect, when everything's just the way I want, you know. Nobody moves, you know, the weather's just right, prasadam's just the way I like it, you know. Everything's just the way I want, then I can serve. No, that's conditional. But devotional service, ahoitukya pratyata, it's meant to be unconditional. No conditions. Oh, it's too cold to do devotional service today, or it's too hot, or... No. He does it in all circumstances. Then, text 17, one who neither rejoices nor grieves, nor who neither laments nor desires, and who renounces both auspicious and inauspicious things, Such a devotee is very dear to me. So that means giving up auspicious or inauspicious. Even if something's auspicious, if it's not his duty, he gives it up. Arjuna was trying to do something very auspicious. He wanted to meditate, he wanted to go off and renounce killing. Very auspicious. But it wasn't his duty, therefore Krishna had said, no, better you do your duty. Give up this auspicious idea. Of course, Krishna also pointed out that some people may have thought it was auspicious, but at the same time, Krishna pointed out there's inauspiciousness too. So give up auspicious and inauspicious. Perform your duty. That duty means devotional service. Then 18 and 19, one who is equal to friends and enemies, who is equipoised in honor and dishonor, heat and cold, happiness and distress, fame and infamy, who is always free from contaminating association, always silent and satisfied with anything, who doesn't care for any residents, who is fixed in knowledge, and who is engaged in devotional service. Such a person is very dear to me. So the key one here is, he's always free from contaminating association. Very important. Because as long as one associates with contaminated persons, then he's not going to be very dear to Krishna because his mind will be polluted. It's inevitable by that association. Therefore, one has to decide which team he wants to be on. What is it? Jesus said something in the Bible like that? You cannot serve God and mammon at the same time. You have to decide. You're going to serve God or you're going to serve mammon? So, one has to make that decision that he wants to keep a good association. Then, those who follow this imperishable path of devotional service and who completely engage themselves with faith, making me the supreme goal, are very, very dear to me. Are there any questions? The question is, if you find your family contaminating, is it higher, did you say, to disassociate? Yes, of course. How could, if you associate with them and they're ruining your devotional service, then how is that helping? How are you helping them? No one's helping each other. You're just like if you're trying to get yourself out of the water, and someone's pulling you down. You have to get free from that if they're trying to pull you down. Of course, we should be able to give some association to them, even if we cannot give as much as they might like, give them some association to try to help them, not so much that we get pulled down, but enough that they might get pulled up. Question is it easier to carry out the orders of the spiritual master in his presence or after he departs? Should be the same. Of course, having his personal presence does make everything very easy and nice. But it's like growing up. When you're a child, the parents tell you what to do, and you do it, and you learn. But then at a certain point, you grow up, and you have to act on what they've taught you. But that's another challenge, and it's also a very pleasant challenge. So the question is, that after the departure of the spiritual master, if you're still serving, how do you know you're pleasing him? Yes, you know his instructions. And of course, you also are associating with other devotees, so they will give you some feedback. They'll let you know if you're pleasing him. They'll tell you, this is very pleasing to your spiritual master. That's the nicest thing you can say to a devotee. Your service is very pleasing to the spiritual master. So then he's happy. Then he's content. He knows that he's doing something pleasing. And of course he has to study the scriptures and the instructions to see that he is actually doing what he's supposed to do. Well, there's a difference between chanting occasionally and chanting properly. Chanting properly means following the principles of bhakti yoga. But if they're chanting Hare Krishna and they're still engaged in impious activities, so that's not the same level. Of course, I took the term meditation. There may be other ways of meditating. Trying to meditate on the Brahman. Trying to meditate. I'm just saying that it's very difficult, but that may also be considered a type of meditation, to meditate on God's form. Or just like coming, seeing the deity, that's also meditation. Or meditation, let's see what word Krishna uses here for meditation. Dhyana. Yeah, dhyan. Meditation. Let's see what Prabhupada says in the purport. For those who are actually not able to follow the principles of Krishna consciousness, it is better to cultivate knowledge, because by knowledge, one can be able to understand his real position. Gradually, knowledge will develop to the point of meditation. By meditation, one can be able to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead by a gradual process. There are processes which make one understand that one himself is the Supreme, and that sort of meditation is preferred if one is unable to engage in devotional service. Okay, so even impersonal meditation is a type of meditation. Meditate on, that you are, what does it say? That one himself is the Supreme. So that's, at least they're trying to meditate. They're making some effort. Something's better than nothing. Very contaminating. Extremely contaminating. If he doesn't have, he's not in devotional service yet. He hasn't come to the point of devotional service. These are lower levels. In other words, we see, when you meet someone on Sankirtan, and he says, I do meditation. Well, that's all. You immediately say, oh, good. Because at least he's open enough to think, I do some meditation, I'm trying to. So he's a good candidate to take the book, isn't he? If someone says, I eat meat and I don't want to hear anything about it, But if he says, I'm doing meditation, I'm doing yoga, well, then he's a little open. So he's not in devotional service yet, but he's making some efforts to go in that direction. But those people, they also have a hard time, because they have to give up all their impersonalism, all their misconceptions. It's not easy for them. Okay, last question. No, it's not devotional service. But there's some devotion there. At least he's trying to control his mind to some extent. Even impersonalism requires a little bit of bhakti. All right, thank you very much. Bhagavad Gita as it is, ki jai.